All right, Chaver. So let's get to the first line of the Mishnah, and maybe the first few lines of the Gemara, and then we'll come back, circle back to Tosfos. So the Mishnah is really discussing the case where you have two neighbors who share a chotzer. That's the shared part here. They're not living together in the same home. They're living in their separate homes. Each one should have their own yard, but they choose perhaps, you know, for each one's benefit, right? It might be to their benefit to have like a timeshare on the yard, and they share it, and then you know they can each host their large extended family or have football games or baseball games without having fences in the way. So they share the chatzer. At a certain point, though, either one or both of the parties decide that they want to split the chatzer and go their separate ways. Maybe their children are all grown up and now they want their privacy, whatever the situation might be. And they decide they want to split their chatzer. So in order to understand that Mishnah, you really have to be familiar with, you know, a lot of things that happen later on in the first paragraph. But you know, even just to get beyond first base, you have to know the Mishnah Dafir Alf Mir Alf. The Mishnah tells us that there are certain kinds or sizes of chatzeros that can be split if one of the parties petitions for it unilaterally. If it's big enough that each one will be left with Arba Amos or Arba Amos, so then if one of the parties in the Shutfas petitions to split the chatzer, the other party has to capitulate, they have to agree. And they have to concede, you know, and be willing to split their chatzer. If it's less, you know, than 8 amos by 8 amos, such that if they split the chatzer, each one of the parties will be left with less than 4 amos by 4 amos, then they can only split the chatzer if both agree. But they can't do it because one of the parties unilaterally petitions for it. So our Mishnah gets back, and it's unclear which situation is discussed by our Mishnah, and that's exactly what the Gemara is going to debate. And it's not just a matter of details of how you understand our Mishnah. A major halachic dispute is going to emerge from those two ways of learning our Mishnah, which is going to take us throughout the first sugya, the sugya known as Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, Lav Shmei Hezek. But let's just read the first Mishnah, Hashutvin Sherot, the first line, Hashutvin Sherot, Lasis Mechitza B'chotzer. So we're talking about Shutvin partners who share a chotzer that they decide, or they're compelled to split. They want to make a mechitza b'chatzer. You build the kaiso in the middle. If the minig is to use unsmooth stone or rough stone, you build with gvio. Gazis, if it's smooth stone, you build with gazis. Kfisin, levenin, big stone, small stones, whatever the minig is. Hakol, kaminig, hamadina. That is that is what you follow. So the Gemara continues. Let's just skip down to the Gemara. The Gemara, just initially assumes savrua usually means we thought, but was proven wrong in the conclusion. Tosfos here writes savrua, perhaps means this might even be accepted in the conclusion. That's up for debate. But savrua, we initially thought, maybe we conclude as well, that my mechitza guda. What does it mean? A mechitza means a wall. Meaning that our Mishnah is discussing a case where the chatzer is more than 8 amos by 8 amos, one of the parties can unilaterally petition to split the chatzer, and the other one is compelled to concede. So what then is dependent upon an agreement between them? Right? Our Mishnah says they together agree. Shutvin Sherotzu, they both agreed. What requires both of their consent? That's to build a wall. To split the chatzer, one of them can compel the other unilaterally to do that. So savrua my mechitza guda, we're talking about the wall. And the wall, then, is not an obligation to build. Just because you split the chatzer does not demand that you build a wall between them. And the Gemara infers from this that if that's the case, it must be that hezek re'iyah lav shmei hezek. Hezek re'iyah means that I interfere with your usage of your property because I'm staring at you while you're sitting in your, sunbathing in your, in your backyard. So you're going to be inhibited from using your property to the fullest extent because I'm peering through your, your window. And that's really disturbing. So we'll get to Hezek Re'iyah might have other manifestations too. Hezek Re'iyah with regards to a garden or with regards to produce that's growing, that's based perhaps on Ayin Hara. The many, many different manifestations of Hezek Re'iyah, but in its most simplest form, it's that I am preventing you from using your property fully because I'm staring at you while you're doing it. So is that considered to be a damage, which, the halacha would step in and make us build a wall between our two properties so that each one of us could use our property to the fullest? Or do we say, Hezek, Riyah, Lav, Shmei, Hezek, sticks and stones? You know, what do you care that other people are watching you? You can continue to use your property, and you can't really call that damages that I'm staring at you while you're using your property. That's the debate of a Hezek, Riyah, Shmei, Hezek, or Lav, Shmei, Hezek. So if this Mishnah is discussing a case where the chatzer is big enough to split, what then requires their mutual consent? Hashutfin Sharatsu is to build a wall, but the wall is not mandated halachically. We can infer Hezek Re'il, Rav Shmei Hezek. But then the Gemara suggests perhaps, no, the Mishnah is discussing a chatzer which has no din of chaluka. You can't demand, one party cannot demand unilaterally that the other party split the chatzer with him because it's not big enough. So what requires their mutual consent? To split the chatzer. That's what you require the mutual consent for. Once you split the chatzer, who then says we have to build a wall? Must be once we split the chatzer. So, inevitably, or you are mandated to then build a wall. Because once you have two separate chatzeros next to each other, and one guy's going to be looking at the other while he's using his property, halacha steps in at this point and says, no. You have to build a mechitza because hezek re'iyah shmei hezek. So if what they're mutually consenting to do in our Mishnah, Hashutfin Sharatsu, is talking about not guda, but the Gemara picks up perhaps, where is this? And Beis and Beis, right at the top. Elamai. Gemara says, perhaps, no, what they're talking about is, where is this? Ve'ema, mechitza pugta. Maybe when it says, Hashutin Sharatsu Lasais, mechitza, it doesn't mean they agreed to build a wall, because that's up to their discretion whether or not to do it, because Hezek Re'il, Rav Shmei Hezek. We're talking about they decided to plukta. They decided to split the field because it wasn't a field that demanded, or the one of the parties unilaterally could demand that they split. It wasn't 8 amos by 8 amos, where each one will end up with 4 amos by 4 amos. There, you have to split. We're talking about a chatzer which they didn't have to split. But once they decided to split it together, the halacha steps in and says, now you have to build a wall, because Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. I think Mark goes on to debate which one fits better into the language of the Mishnah, which we'll get up to, when we learn the Gemara more properly. But those are the two opinions that we have over here in terms of how to learn the first line of the Mishnah. Is it Hezek Re'iyah or Shmei Hezek? And what they are deciding between them to do is to split the field. But once they split the field, the halacha steps in and says they have to build a wall, because otherwise one is damaging the other. Or no, Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek. We're talking about a field that didn't have to, one of them could unilaterally demand from the other that he split the field, but what they agreed between them was to build a wall. They didn't have to build a wall. Halacha doesn't step in and mandate that they build a wall because Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek. Rabbi said that's the Gemara, yeah? But the Gemara adds, okay, whether this wall is being built because they agreed to do it, whether it's being built because of a problem of Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, one of them is watching the other while he's using his backyard, preventing him from using it to its fullest. The Gemara discusses, and the Mishnah says, right, you should build it with the materials that's common in that area. And then the Mishnah continues, whatever stones are common, you have to split the wall in between. They share, right, the width of the wall. So, gvil, zenoisen, which is vavtvachin, unsmooth stones, the rough stones. Zenoisen gimel tvachim, zenoisen gimel tvachim. This one has 3 tvachim on his property, this one has 3 tvachim on his property. Begazi, zenoisen tvachim umechsav, zenoisen tvachim umechsav. This one, that's 3 tvachim wide. The smooth stones, so they have to do a tefach and a half on each one of their properties. So over here, Tosfos picks up on that line, hakol kaminin kamedina. Everything follows the custom in that place. What does that come to add? Right? The Mishnah already gave us examples. Gvio, if they're no hague with Gvio, you use Gvio. If they're no hague with Gazis, you use Gazis. If they're no hague with Levainim, you use Levainim. Kvisim, big stones, small stones, smooth stones, rough stones. What do I add by Hakol Kaminik Hamedina? So look later on at Avdar Amid Aleph, and this is what Tosfos is going to comment on. Later on at Avdar Amid Aleph, the Gemara is one line. The Gemara explains what Hakol Kaminik Hamedina comes to include. The Gemara says, about 2/3 of the way down at the 2 dots. Hakol kaminik hamedina, hakol lasuye mai. What is that coming to include? Lasuye aser denehigi behutzav adachna. If they don't use bricks at all, the 3 little pigs over here, right? But if they don't use bricks at all, they use twigs or reeds or some other contractor special from the Home Depot Blue Light Special. whatever, they use the cheapest materials possible. That's okay too. Behutza v'dafna. Then you follow the Megna Medina. That's what you follow. Okay? So we gave the example of bricks. But even if it's not, Hakol Kamina Medina, even if it's Hutza v'dafna, all right. So look over here at Tosfos. Tosfos Divrei Maaseh B'Gvil asks, three lines down into Tosfos, V'im Tomar. Amai itzrech l'misni midas gvil v'gozis. Why did the Mishnah have to give us the widths of the gvil and the gozis? Came with this none. Hakol kamina kamedina. Once you said hakol kamina kamedina, it's obvious. If they're six tefachim wide, if they're five tefachim wide, if they're four tefachim wide, three tefachim wide, whatever it is, you follow the minhag of medina. Once we said this catch-all, why do we need to discuss then the details? Obviously, it's going to depend on whatever the minhag is. V'yei shleimar. Dimnagu yoisim mivav b'gvil lo yaseh. Because there are bricks, right? Let's say the guy wants reinforced cement. You know, he wants a barricade. One of these, the apocalyptic guys. So he's building a bunker. And he wants, something more. No, and even if that's the minhag in the Medina, maybe in Montana, certain districts, that is the minhag to build bunkers, safe houses and this kind of thing. No, you don't have to do that. That minhag you don't have to follow. Lo yaseh. V'chein kulam. Oh, kashir hamafurash. You only follow the wits that's mentioned in the Mishnah. Meaning, even if they're noyeg more, halacha doesn't demand that. Umiyu. Imnagu lasas bepokos mivav, yaseh. If it's less than vav tvachim, they use thinner bricks. Yaseh, you can do that. Tafil imnagu behutz v'dafna yaseh. Because even if the minhag is to use, the Home Depot cheap, discontinued version, we would use that too. Okay. I love Home Depot, by the way. Nothing against Home Depot. Yaseh can mefarish b'gemara. That's fine. So we'll use less, but not more. But then, Vim Taima, Fractis, it's a similar question, just the other direction. Umay boy b'gemara, hakol kamina kamedina. 1 minute. Why does the Gemara ask, what is coming to be included by hakol kamina kamedina? Gasuya imay, mishani gasuya asa den higi behutza v'dafna. We said it's coming to include a city where they have the minhag to use reeds or twigs. Say it's coming to include something, every place, like their minhag. Why do we have to say, I feel hutz of a dafna? Say, every place like their minhag. So Tosfos already almost hinted at the answer, that there's going to be some there, because there are some in Hagim that we're just not going to accept, right? If it's more than vav tvachim, we're not going to care that you, in that location and district in Montana, they all build safe houses that reinforce cement that's 18 feet thick. We're not going to mandate that. V'nir Rabbeinu Tam de Davka behutz v'dafna. No, but it's because the same other direction too. There is flimsy mechitzos, but then there's too flimsy. With halacha, you're simply not going to recognize that minhag. Avapachas mikana fiu nogu. If they do less than hutz v'dafna, now I don't know what is less than hutz v'dafna. Maybe in certain districts in China, maybe they have thin walls and, different, there they use very thin doors and, reed stuff. Maybe one can imagine there could be a thinner material than hutz v'dafna. So if they use, lighter stuff, even if that's the custom, that's silly. That's not a minhag. There are some minhagim that we simply do not recognize, even within the very broad shoulders of Hakol Kamin and Kamedina. There are some things that are just simply too far. So even where we do revert, we do recognize the validity of Kamin and Kamedina, there are some things that are just simply too far. That's just too big of a bridge for us to cross. So if it's less than Hutz v'dafna, we don't recognize that. By the same token, Rabbeinu Tam already said, Tosfos quoted this without Rabbeinu Tam, that if it's more than vav tvachim, we're not going to recognize that either. That's simply, come on, man. That's too much. However, Rabbi said, look at Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina does not seem to subscribe to this position of Rabbeinu Tam. Over here, Ois Aleph. It's Rabbeinu Yoina. He said, Babatra is so rich. Rabbeinu Yoina has a lot in it, and a very rich resource in Baba Basra. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes over here, Oisalf, Umas Nisan, our Mishnah, is talking about an Ir Chadasha. Why bother going through all the different options? Just say Hakol Kamin and Kamedina. O B'makom She'ein Sham Minhag. There isn't really a Minhag, or we're starting new, like those rare shuls that start without a Minhag. That's great, right? My first shul, we started without any Minhagim, so I got to be creative. I got to create all my own Minhagim. It's really fun. But umas nisa be'ir chadasha, where there's no minhagim, or b'makom she'ein sham minhag yadua. It's a new Jewish community, or it's a new settlement, or maybe there are, you know, various minhagim, and there isn't necessarily a binding consensus. So yadua l'shutvin livnos kaisa b'shitav kishachok mesachatzah. Yesh mehem boinim, yesh mehem she'ein boinim. There are some who build and some who don't build. And our mission is coming to teach us that in these places where there's no minig, one way or the other, one of the parties, the stam, is that one of the parties can compel the other to build a wall. Either because Hezek Re'iyosh, probably because, right, we're functioning now within the opinion that Hezek Re'iyosh Shmei Hezek. If Hezek Re'iyosh Shmei Hezek, and there's no minig otherwise, the stam is you can compel them to build a wall. Ulasalik Hezekria, to remove the Hezekria. Aval b'makom shenagu kulam shaloi livnois. Even though Hezekria shmei Hezek, it is a Hezek, within that opinion in the Gemara, that what they're agreeing to do is split the chatzer. It wasn't a big enough chatzer to split, you know, on its own right, on its own merits. But they decided to split it. Once you split it, you got to build a wall, says Rabbeinu Yonah. There's only in a new city. But if there is a minig not to build walls, not to be chayshish for Hezekria, then you can't compel your neighbor to build a wall. You can't force him to build. Meaning, even less than Hutzah V'dafna. Rabbeinu Tam said, what if they have a minig to build less than Hutzah V'dafna? No, that's not a minig. Certainly if they had a minig not to build at all, Rabbeinu Tam wouldn't recognize that. Right? Because if he would, you can't draw the line on Hutzah V'dafna. It must mean, even if it's less than Hutzah V'dafna, certainly if they have a minig not to build at all, we don't recognize that. That's a minig hedyot. Silly. Rabbeinu Yonah holds no such thing. You want a minig not to build? Have a minig not to build. Fine. Even though Hezek Riyash, Shmei Hezek. The Rashba here quotes both opinions, Rabbi is saying. Look over here at the Rashba. The Rashba is nice. He sums up over here this dispute. On his base, Ikame Rabbas, the Pirshu, even according to the opinion of the Hezek Riyash Mehezek, V'chol Sheratu Boinim Etzakais about Karchan, I can compel my neighbor to build a wall. Hani Mili Be'ir Chadosha. That's in a new city. B'kosh Kem B'makom Shenagu Mamish Ligdor. Or where they have a meaning to build. I don't know in America if there's a... I lived in a few places. I never remember a obligation to build a wall. I don't think the thing exists in America. Maybe it does in some places. I think we have such a thing. But kosher came b'makom shenagu mamish ligdar, where there's a minig that you have to build a wall. Ava b'makom shenagu kulan shaloi lahakpid o hezekriya. What if you have a city where no one is careful about hezekriya? Ein machai v'nois elivnois. No minig necessary to, you know, no obligation necessarily to build a wall. El amratza koines asok shaloi b'ayna. You want to go into your property and build, you can build. But ain't done in yafa b'ayna. And the Rabbi Rajba doesn't like this. He doesn't like Rabbeinu Yonah. He likes Rabbeinu Tam. Even if there's a minig not to build, we compel you to build me dekatani bimasdis and akol kaminig amedina. Everything follows the custom of the city. What does that come to include? Hutzah V'dafna. That's as far as we go. We do not go any further. But if you have a minig not to build, we do not recognize that. As Rabbeinu Tam said, that is a minig hedyot. Even a reed, a mat, shmamina, meaning a sheet, shmamina, shein hochen achar minig, but pochois me hutzah v'dafna. You can't have less than hutzah v'dafna. The minig tosu. It's a minig, but it's a minig tos. V'chein kosev Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, Rabbi, so we have a minig here, machlekes here. We said a kol kaminig amedina. Even to include Hutzah V'dafna, what if there's a minig not to build at all, not to be chayshish for Hezek Re'iya? We have two fields next to each other. One opinion in the Gemara is that they have to compel each other to build a wall together. Because each one of us looking at the other while we're using our property is going to inhibit us from using our property fully. Hezek Re'iya Shmei Hezek. What if we have a minig not to build? No, that we don't recognize. What materials to use that we recognize? But even there, Rabbeinu Tam has limits where he's willing to say there's such a thing as a minig that is not a valid minig. What are they arguing about? What's machlekes here? Maybe it's just, you know, like a small little local issue with regards to Hezekria as possible. It seems to me that this is really the tip of the iceberg of a much bigger issue which is how do we view, or what is the validity, why do we accept the minig hamedina when it comes to dinei mamonos? We have our own legal system, Rabbi Yisai. All of Seder Nezikin, we discussed last time. We have our own system of dinei mamonos with our own rules. Why do we defer to the minig hamedina? What's that based on? So I think there's two possible avenues you have over here. Two possible understandings. And by the way, this is not only local to walls. This is a sugya in Gan Shas. All dinei mamonos. Anyone ever here been involved in a din Torah? I hope not. Stay away, Rabbi Yisai, stay away from dinei Torah. It's bad news. Bad news. If you have to, you have to. But better to be mavater. These things end very badly. I try and stay away from it. It's a minute to sit for dinei Torah. I really don't like it. Everyone always ends up angry at you, then accuse you, man. It's a messy, messy business. But this is not only with regards to walls, it's with regard to many other issues. Everybody say, look over here. Gemara Masech is Bar Mitzvah Pei Gimel Meraf, the beginning of a Perek HaSoich Haras HaPoilim. The Mishnah says, the beginning of HaSoich Haras HaPoilim, I think the sixth or seventh Perek in Bar Mitzvah, if you hire a poil, you say you have to come early and leave late. If the custom there, I think in most jobs maybe was 9 to 5 at one point in time. I don't know if that's still the case anywhere, but let's say that was the case. You say, but I want you here at 7 and you'll leave at 10. You can't compel them to do it. If you stipulate it otherwise, maybe we'll get to that in a second. But you know, you can't compel them to do it. Malcolm Shanago Shlo Lazun Yazun Lesafik Bemesika Yisafik Hakol Committing a Medina. Do you feed them? Do you not have to feed them? Do the employees have to feed themselves? Everything over here follows the Minig Hamedina. Sigmar says Pshita. Well, isn't that obvious that you follow the Minig Hamedina? Sigmar says, no, you can't demand that he come early or leave late if that's not the Minig HaMedina. Right? If the Minig HaMedina is 9 to 5, you can't say, after I hired you, by the way, you know I expect you to be here from 7 to 10. No, you can't do that. If you don't stipulate otherwise, the Minig HaMedina is 9 to 5. Sigmar says, pshita, that's obvious, you can't demand more. Leitzricha, the tafakle agraihu. I'm paying you more. I'm paying you, this guy gets minimum wage. I'm paying you 4 times minimum wage. You thought that was like a nice guy? Like you thought I'm out of line for no reason? It's because I expect more. I expect you to be here. So it's because I want you to come early and leave late. Kamash Malan, you see from here that that's not the case. The worker can say back to the employer, I thought you meant that I should just work harder. But not that I have to come earlier and leave later. Okay. But how called committing a Medina? If the Minig HaMedina is otherwise, then that, right, it's not 9 to 5, it's 7 to 10, that's the Minig HaMedina, then that's the assumption you should have in, you know, terms of employment as well. So Gemara says, Amar Yish Lakish, one minute, Gemara quotes a pasuk. Shenema Tizrach Hashemesh Yosefum Ve'al Ma'inasam Yerbatsun Yetzei Adam Fo'alo Avadasoy Adei Aref. So you have, you know, they should come early in the morning and leave late at night. Why do I have a pasuk that outlines for me hours of employment? Why do I have a pasuk telling me hours of employment if I call committing a medina? Let's see how they have the minig in that place. The Gemara concludes, no, be'ir chadasha. That's one place where there's no minig. Or a person says, I agree to li kapel de rice. I want to follow the din Torah. That's the din Torah, the pasuk. But if we do not stipulate we want the din Torah, or there is a minig in the town, you follow the minig HaMedina. Now just think, Rabbi says something amazing just happened. We have a pasuk that tells us, that outlines hours of employment. We don't follow those hours independently. It's only if there's no Minig HaMedina. If there's a Minig HaMedina, we revert, we defer to the Minig HaMedina. Right? It's only if the guy says there's no Minig, or we say, I want to be like a Pel Deiraisa, but otherwise, we always follow the Minig HaMedina. So even though it's against the Pasuk, we follow the Minig HaMedina. So right to Yushalmi over here, a striking language. Zoy Saimeres, over here, always down on the sheet, Zoy Saimeres, HaMinig Mavato Es HaLocha. Minig overrides the HaLocha. Another time you find minig overrides halacha. By the mechiras chametz, we have a problem. Every time we sell chametz to the goy, we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is we need a kinyan deiraisa. Why do we need a kinyan deiraisa by mechiras chametz? Rabbi said, because we're attempting to avoid a problem deiraisa. What's the problem deiraisa? You can't own chametz on Pesach. You're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, known as Baal Yiroa, Baal Yimotzei. We don't want to throw all the chametz out. Some people do. Great. What are you going to do if you're not going to throw your chametz out? You're going to sell it to the goy. You need a kinyan deiraisa. You say, no problem. Rabbi said, what's a kinyan deiraisa? Name one kinyan deiraisa. You have it.
Kesef.
Kesef! We know from Kiddushe Kesef, Kesef is deiraisa. What's another kinyan deiraisa? Meshicha. Pick it up. So Gemara, Mr. Perek Hazav, if you ever learn the fourth Perek of Bamasi, actually has a machlekes. Which kinyan is deiraisa? Kesef or Meshicha? Devar Torah, Moos Konos? Is it a din deiraisa that Kesef is kaina? Or is it, it's Meshicha is kaina. And Gemara assumes it can't be both. It's one or the other, and it's machlekes in the Gemara. Which is it? So it's machlekes. Is kinyan kesef deiraisa? Is it not deiraisa? By kiddushin, it certainly works deiraisa, because the pasuk says, Avram Avinu bought Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron Achiti with kesef. Hinei kesef hasoda kach mimeni. Use the language of kicha, kiikach ish isha. Pasuk and Parshas Kiseitze, kicha, kicha, miste Ephron. You ever learn the first paragraph of kiddushin? Exera shava, kicha, kicha, miste Ephron. So kesef certainly works for kiddushin. Does it work in dinei mominus? Machlekes. In the Gemara Bava Metzia, in the Perek Hazov. Devar Torah, Moos Konos or not? So it's machlekes in the Gemara. Is kesef koina midaraisa or meshicha koina midaraisa? So when it comes to mechiras chametz, Rabbi said, we need a kinyan deiraisa to avoid by matzah. I have my scotch. I need to sell it to the guy. What kesef, what kinyan are we going to do? So it's either kesef or meshicha. I'm going to do kesef. Can I do meshicha? I could do both. One of them is deiraisa. We're not sure which one. It's machlekes. Kesef I can do with the guy. Meshicha is impossible. Why? Because he's going to go to every Jew's house and pick up all his chametz. Hagbah, he's going to pick up everybody's chametz. He's not going to pick up everybody's chametz. He's not going to, kesef we can do. Hagbah, he's not going to do. He's not going to go to everybody's house and pick up all their chametz. So kesef we can do, but we're not sure if it's deiraisa or not. So it might not work for Baal Yiroa, Baal Yimotzei. So we do other kinyanim. In Mechiras Chametz, we do many, many kinyanim. Another kinyan we do is a kinyan sudar. He picks up, usually our guy, he passed away already though, John Brown, over Shalom, used to come with a penknife. He called it a penknife, but it was a pocket knife. So he'd come with a pocket knife. That was his utensil. We would pick up the pocket knife. That's a symbolic gesture. In lieu of picking up the pocket knife, he would transfer ownership. He would, he would acquire the chametz. Kinyan sudar, that's known as chalipin. Is machlekes, the raisa, the rabbanans. We need another kinyan. So what are the kinyan in that cholent of kinyan? We throw every kinyan we have at the guy. Because we can't do the two sides of the coin, right? Either kesef or hagbah or meshicha, one of them is kind of the raisa, but you can't do both because he's not going to go to everybody's house picking up their chametz. So we do kesef. He gives us a pruta for every person. But we have to use other kinyan. So one of them is the pocket knife. One of the ones that we do, though, is a handshake. Known as Kinyan, it was very tricky during Corona. What do we do with handshakes? I remember we ran our own Mechiras Chametz during the height of Corona. I didn't want to go to Riverdale, but we wasn't accepting other Rabbanim to come to Riverdale. So it was the first time. We did it last year too, though, once we started it, but we ran our own Mechiras Chametz. I remember the guy came in like a hazmat suit. I came in my hazmat suit. We shook hands with gloves on. I asked him before, are you okay shaking hands? A whole story with the guy. So you're supposed to shake hands. Why shake hands? Shaking hands, is, at least it used to be. I don't know what's going to happen post-corona. Are we still going to close deals by shaking hands? But it used to be we used to close deals by shaking hands. It goes back already to the time of the Shulchan Aruch. They used to close deals by shaking hands. So shaking hands was a symbolic gesture that, I mean what I say. We have an agreement, a gentleman's agreement, that we're going to follow through. So that is valid in the eyes of Halacha too. Because the Gemara says over here, Baba Metziah and Dara Manalof, it's known as Kinyan Situmta. Amar of Papi Mishmei Derava Hai Situmta Kanya. If you have what is the Minik HaSoikrim, how they conclude a sale, that is valid in the eyes of Halacha too. How called Kaminik HaMedina. I don't know in France, do they close deals by shaking hands? They kiss each other? How do they do it over there? I don't know. Never close any real estate deals in France. What do they do in Dubai? I don't know. They're shaking them. Oh, and here, some people do like this. I don't think it's a very Jewish thing. I wonder what the origin of that is. It feels to me like it's now there's an emoji like this. I don't think it's a Jewish thing at all. Yeah, but it's like thank you. But I think there's some religious significance to it. I've been meaning to investigate that. Where does this come from? No, I think it goes. Yeah, I think in Avodah Zarah, there's origin to this. It does. It comes from that. Do you know why though? Is it like some meditative stance?
Guy with a big stomach, the Buddha.
And he's holding his hands like this.
They bow to him. I don't know.
No, like this.
I don't know. I will research for you.
Okay, you research that. Homework. And Avodah Zarah. Thank you. So. Anyway, Kitzer, whatever the minig is in that place, that's how you close a deal. That's known as Kinyan Situm. So Rabbi said, look over here at the Rajbo. Look at the Rajbo. Even though Havoch has most konos, we have Meshicha, we have Agbah. Who ever heard of handshaking? That's not a halachic thing. Whatever is the minig, that's what we do. Whatever the salesman employ, liknois, kainim. That is validity in the eyes of Halacha too. This appears in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Aleph, Sif Aleph and Beis. Look at the last line, the third line over here. V'chol chen kol davar shenagu atagrim liknos bo kegoin. What's an example of this? Aydei shenoy senokeach pruta lamaycher. If you just give him a pruta, o al yedei shetokei lo kapoy. They shake hands. The problem is, why don't we just close the Mechiras comments with this then? Because the Pisgei Tshuva over here quotes a machlekes between the Nesivis and the Chasam Sofer. Is this a Kinyan de Raisa? Is it only a Kinyan de Rabbanon? So it's one of the things that we do with the guy, but we can't rely on this alone. But according to some, it's a Kinyan de Raisa. The Chasam Sofer holds a Kinyan de Raisa, and the Nesivis holds only a Kinyan de Rabbanon. We'll have to explain maybe what they're arguing about, maybe the same issue that we're discussing over here, which is how does this work? Why do we defer to Minig HaMedina when it comes to hours of employment and maybe other terms of employment, when it comes to kinyonim, when it comes to whether or not to build a wall, yes, build a wall, what kind of wall? Why are we deferring to Minig HaMedina? We have our own legal system. So I think there's two ways of understanding it, Rabbi Yisrael. One is already, look over here, by the way, just one final marimukum. This comes up, this is really what the heart of what we're talking about. Rabbi Kiva Eger says over here, Oizayin, what if a dispute breaks out as to what were the terms of employment or the terms of this deal? One says, you know what, we have a dispute. I want to know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, smash, shach, taz, get me, you know, a gadol adar in Chesh Mishpat. V'echad oimer, she'en liz dayin abofei acherim. No, I want an arbitrary panel that's an expert in this industry. What is that guy sitting in the ivory tower of Yeshiva so-and-so, who might be a bucky and gans chayshim mishpat, know about what we had in, you know, what were the terms of this deal? You know, I think if a dispute breaks out in the diamond district, they have official board, like arbitrary panels. There are certain industries that have certain kinds of panels that are meant to arbitrate disputes. V'lo kefi dvar Torah. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger in the name of the Marashach, Minig Mavata Alokha Vehevi Ahidi Asitumta. We follow what the Minig HaSeichrim is, not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Rabbi said, why do we defer to Minig HaMedina and so many things? What happens? Don't we have our own Dine Momenus? I think there's two ways of approaching this. The first is already alluded to by the Rambam. Rabbi said, look over here at the Rambam, Perek Tes Vav Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Hey. Says the Rambam, Kol Shes Kimo Lo Bnei HaMedina, whatever we all agree to, Shehu Mum Shemachzir Bo Mekach Zemachzirin. If there are, I think this is true in real estate sales, certainly true in the sale of medications and other things, there are laws about what has to be disclosed. Certain things don't have to be disclosed, right? If the ingredients in a certain food item is so minimal, you don't have to disclose it. If it's, you know, certain things like if a car was in a flood, it has to be, you know, it has to be noted on the deed or the title, whatever they call it in a car. Certain things have to be disclosed. So whatever the rule is, in that minig HaMedina that has to be disclosed, that's what you have to disclose. But kosh is kimo rav, she'enu mum, whatever everyone agrees is not a mum, does not have to be disclosed in the sale. Whoever engages in business in this area assumes or concedes or is Michael or agrees to operate based on the assumptions of this industry. What does that mean? I think what the Rambam is trying to say is a rule that's articulated by the Gemara Bava Metzia. Rabbi says, turn to Ois Yud, Bava Metzia, Saridan Amarav. Probably you're familiar with this. It comes up in a number of Masechtas. That when I am dealing with Dinei Mominis, I have the right to make whatever conditions and stipulations I want. When it comes to halachas that are not Dinei Mominis, let's say Yerusha. Yerusha sounds a lot like Dinei Mominis. It actually appears in Chayshim Mish, but it's not Yerusha at all. It's a halacha. Ribbis, interest, is also Dinei Mominis, but not in Chayshim Mish, but it's in Yoredeya, because it's really a religious halacha. We cannot make a loan where we stipulate that ribbis should not apply. You can't do that. That's called Masne al Masha Kosuv Batayra. You can't do that. Or I cannot make an agreement with you that Shabbos should not apply to our business relationship. I'm going to make an agreement with you, but we exclude Shabbos. You can't do that. Masna Masha Kosuv Batayra Tnei Obotev Amai Zikayim. The deal goes on. The Tnai is irrelevant. You can't stipulate out the laws of the Torah. Unless we're talking about something that is strictly mominous. There's no religious principle here. It's just Dine Mominus Ben Alma Chavero, Tanai Shabbat Mamon, Tanai Okayim. When it comes to our money, we can make whatever Tanai we want. And it's logical like that, because I could take my money and give it to you. Why can't, therefore, I make any Tanai, even if it's to my disadvantage, even though it's weird? You know, I can make that tonight with you. I can make a tonight with you. I'll sell you the house if, this leaf falls off the tree, this winter. You know, I can make whatever tonight I want. My money, I can decide to do what I want with it. As long as it doesn't violate any religious principle. Yerusha is religious. You can't make a tonight. I agree to allow my estate to go to my children, but I don't want Pishnaim to go to the Bechar. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can give away your money while you're alive. And that's a really important industry called the halachic will. There's one halachic will that has to do with like a living will, like a medical proxy. That's really important. Not your age, Kananara, but later on. It's an important thing to do. You sign a rabbi or a family member to make ethical decisions if your person, Leilenu, is incapacitated. But then there's a halachic will. You can't draft a secular will. Secular will, where I assign how my property, my estate should be divided, is really keneged adin. A maisha is a tshuva, might be valid in the eyes of Allah, in a back doorway, but we could have a whole shiur about it if you want, but we typically don't advise that. Person should create a will, halachically, which is a mechanism whereby you give away your assets while a person is still alive. That's much, safer. And even then, you shouldn't avoid the dinim of Yerusha. Dinim of Yerusha are not, mine to play with, so to speak. But if it's strictly mominous, you can do whatever you want with it. So maybe Minig HaMedina is based on the fact that it's my money. I'm entering this industry, this agreement. I can do whatever I want with it. And if we all agree that this is the way we're going to do business in the used car industry, we're not going to disclose to each other whether or not the seats recline or they don't, or the brakes pads are not new or they are, whatever. We're not going to disclose how new the roof is or how new the plumbing is or whether there's a sump pump. We're not going to disclose any of that. That's fine, because we can do whatever we want with our money. So Rabbi said that is one way of viewing the Minhag HaMedina. How then, what's the purpose of Dinei Mominus in general? Maybe all of the Dinim of the Torah are, and the Rambam doesn't say this, but one could suggest, all the Dinim of the Torah are defaults. The Torah is providing a full service society and civilization. So Torah gives us Dinei Mominus. Does the Torah demand that we follow every sif in Shulchan Aruch to the exclusion of some other condition that we make? No, lav davka. We can make whatever condition we want. And then, not only if we stipulated that explicitly, by extension, now this is a jump, Rabbi said, but even if we didn't explicitly stipulate that, but society stipulated that for us, that applies whether it's stated or it's tacit, that is the assumption. Based on the general principle that we can make a Tanai whatever we want in Dinei Mominus, the Dinim of the Torah are default, but the Torah doesn't demand that we follow them. Yeah, Chaver? That's one possibility. And that's what I think the Rajba says too. Look over here, Rajba. We got to get this air conditioning fixed. Look over here, Rajba. Rajba says, V'cheina tadan, ois tes, v'chol makom b'masha nagu b'mamanis, you follow whatever is the custom by mamanis, v'chol makom b'afilo nagu kem b'makom acheres, even though that's not the meaning in other places. Atanai kem bim koimoi. Ki'u hutnai gomer muskum b'neyem. That's considered to be a condition like between them, v'afilo hiskimu b'feirish. Even though we didn't say it, we didn't say it explicitly. If you say it explicitly, of course, that's the Gemara b'metzia. But they just did business that way. Shonogu came b'stama, hu minik chazak, ki ilu hisnu bo b'feirush, v'afilu lo kasvu. So the minik of Medina operates because in Dinei Mamonos, you and I can agree to do whatever we want, independent of halacha. How does halacha let us do that? Maybe halacha is only a default. But it doesn't demand that we necessarily follow it when it comes to Dinei Mamonos. That's one possibility. However, that is certainly not muskam lako. Because, Kevra, look over here at the Bryce and Masech, the Sefer, decided by all of the Rishonim. Oysud off on the sheet. She'ein halacha nekvas ad she'ye minig. Halacha follows the minig. V'zeh sham, a minig mevat halacha. When we said minig mevat halacha, that's a minig vasikin. What does that mean? It's a minig from that part of the day, you know, right after, Hanetzachama? No, vasikin means, is not a time of day. When you daven vasikin. It means Vasikin is the people who are experts or people who are traditionalists, the people who are veterans. I think in modern Hebrew, Vasik means a veteran. But it means it was established by those who represent our values. It's an old minig that's rooted in proper values and outlook. Minig she'ein lo raya min ha-Torah ketayah, but a minig. She'ein lo raya min ha-Torah, if it's a minig that has no source in the Torah, meaning or in values of Torah, eino ela ketayah b'shiko adas. That's a mistaken assumption in how people function, and it's not the values of the Torah, and we don't accept it. So now, the Brides of Masechta Sefer already putting limitations here. Now, I can do whatever I want with my money. A minig in Dinei Mamonos is valid. Yes, you can, but not a minig that's binding on people who didn't stipulate that explicitly. No. That you want that to be valid, even if it's not stated explicitly, it better be something that's rooted in Torah values. The Or Zeruah goes even further. Look at the Or Zeruah over here, Oysu Gimel, Or Zeruah from the Rishonim, of course. Mordechai quotes the Or Zeruah all the time. It says, Hilkach is Baralon, Dohokanach Raminig, Inin Dine Mominus, Vabogu Shanos, Raminig, Vatayin Shatayin, Shahisneb, Inin Acher. He says, I don't want to do like the Minig, we had another condition. Vago Kamosh, Raminig, Noeg, Olav Laviraya. You want to say you didn't do like the Minig? You better bring proof that you intended not to do like the Minig. Miu Nira Be'enai. Ukigoin Shuminig Kavua Al Pichach Mehamokoim. It has to be established by Beis Din. Kidamir Mesechta Seifrim. Shein Havach Nikvas, Ela Achi Minig, Vizeshama Minig Vatalach, Minig Vasikin. So it has to be, he introduced over here, it has to be Chachmei HaMokum. And then at the end he says Chachmei HaDor. It sounds a lot to me like Beis Din. So I'll tell you, Chavra, I think the Or Zeruah is a whole different shot over here. The Or Zeruah is telling us, there's a halacha called Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Learned that from Shvius. But Beis Din can make things Hefker. So if a Minig HaMokum is established by Chachmei HaMokum, they can use the principle of Hefker based in Hefker to enforce any kind of Minig HaMokum in the Erev Dinei Mamonos. It's not because you and I stipulated that, and even if we didn't say it, it's assumed. No. Because why should we accept a rule that doesn't espouse the values of the Torah? What this means is it was established by Beis Din and Hefker Beis Din Hefker because this fits in with the values of the Torah. In which case, it really isn't an abrogation of Chesha Mishpat. It is an extension of Chesha Mishpat. It's a demonstration of Chesha Mishpat as a Torah's Chaim. And Chachmei HaMokum have the responsibility to apply it to different circumstances, and they accepted this minig kind of as like an ad hoc, one of the dinim of the Torah.
Top down.
It's interesting. It sounds like there's a dispute over here whether it's bottom up or top down. Who's establishing these minhagim? Yeah. It's top down. But it's a whole different mechanism then, right? It's not that the dinim of the Torah are default. The dinim of the Torah are guideposts, and Beis Din is right to work off of them as a platform to establish new minhagim that might correspond to the minhag of Medina or not. So, Chevra, I think this is what Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Tam are arguing about. Rabbeinu Yonah said, it's a t'nai b'dinei mominus, minigam b'dina. Whatever the conditions are, we're not here to draw a red line and say, well, you can't do this with your money. You do whatever you want with your money. You want to have a minig not to build a wall? You have a minig not to build a wall. You buy a house in this residential zip code, you understand. You are Michael on your using your property without people staring at you. And that's, sorry, I mean, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to buy here, but you did. And by doing that, you buy into the minigam malkum. If that's the case, by the way, makes a lot of sense. The Shach says, and this is a big deal in Halacha Lamaisa, what if I didn't know this was the minigam malkum? No one ever told me. So in order for it to be valid in the eyes of Halacha, did you have to know about it? You don't have to know about it. So Shach passes, you have to know about it. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it makes perfect sense. Of course you have to know about it. Because by buying into the zip code, what you're basically doing is saying, I'm giving up, I'm being Michael, I'm forgiving my right to demand the wall. I'll be halacha, because hezek riyish, may hezek. And I decided to be Michael on that. And that's how minhagim work, minhag medina. So then there's no red lines. There's no valid minhag, not valid minhag. This is a legitimate minhag. This is a silly minhag. We're not here to judge the minhagim, because you can do whatever you want with your money. You want to make a stupid stipulation with your money and throw it away, you know, and whatever stupidity, you know, piques your interest, go ahead. It might be over in Baltashkes, or, you know, the Rav Soloveitchik felt there's an issue to be stupid. But, you know, okay, fine. Rabbeinu Tam is a whole different perspective. Rabbeinu Tam understood, no, it's a minig ha-makom is because it's an extension of halacha, and it was only probably if it's established or accepted at least by Talmid HaChachamim. Maybe if it was bottom up, it was the grassroots effort. But the Chachmei ha-makom accepted it. This makes a lot of sense. It's a good idea. Chachma b'goyim tamin. So then we accepted it from them. Now it operates based on Hefker. But then we have the right to draw red lines and say, I'm sorry, if there's a minig not to build a wall at all, we do not endorse that. That's wrong. Jews believe in privacy. Hezek riyish, may hezek. So Rabbeinu Tam said, that's a minig hedyot. Less than hutz of adafna? No way. Not less than hutz of adafna. A minig hedyot is a minig hedyot. Rabbi said, we passing like Rabbeinu Tam. Look over here, Ois Yudawid. The Ramah says, Kufnun Zayin Sev Daud, Im Nogu B'pachos Mikanin V'hutzin, Yeshayim Adeloi Heichon Achar HaMinig. We don't follow the Minig. So both sides, food for thought. Ramah discusses this situation, the Gris Maisha of Sternbach and the Chuvis Van Hoggis. What if this comes up L'maisa? In Halacha, I don't think today, I think today most of us are Meichon Minig HaMokon, on Hezekriya. I don't know any location that you have to build a wall, or I could demand that my neighbor build a wall with me. Let's say he doesn't take me to secular court, though, to build a wall. In fact, between me and my back neighbor, we have two walls. I don't know why. I built my fence 10 years ago. They built a new fence. I held it was a...
There's space in between.
It was a gzera-legzera, what?
No,
because they made sense, because they built a pool. So I'm not Zeichel Kach. They built a pool and they had to build a retaining wall. So once they built a retaining wall, then it was...
Did they make it higher than your fence?
Yes.
Were you insulted?
No. I would rather it be higher. It's just you're not allowed to in Clifton. You can only build it high enough. We have two walls. But I don't think you can demand. But let's say take them to a dentera. I'll say, look, it says in... I'll bring you into Beis Din of America. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Hezek Riyish Mei Hezek. I demand you build a wall. Can he say, no, I'm sorry, the law, the residential laws in my town... wherever, Bergen County, don't endorse that. Do we follow the Minga Medina? Do we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch? Well, let's say another situation. There's such a thing in New York called rent control and rent stabilization, which are very thorny areas of real estate. But more or less, what they say is that a landlord cannot has to renew a lease on an apartment. He has no right to kick out a tenant if it's a rent-controlled apartment. But Halacha doesn't have such rules. So can a guy say, I'm sorry, I understand you're in a rent-controlled apartment, I take you to a Din Torah. And Din Torah have no such thing as, they don't recognize rent control. Rent control means if I have a guy in my shul who's in an apartment, I don't know what he's paying. He's been there for 50 years. Probably paying, you know, a fraction. Well, people are paying for an apartment a fraction of the size. But the landlord's stuck. He can't do anything. He can't ask the guy. The guy could be there forever because he should live. I've asked them, but they're stuck. So can the landlord, who's from, take the tenant, who's from, to a dentera? Or what about severance pay? What about Cobra? What about all these things that are minhag hamedina? But we have our own halachas. When do we revert to the minhag, or the eviction moratorium, which I think was just overturned by the Supreme Court? So what's a guy would say, a frum tenant and a frum landlord says, I'm sorry, I'm not paying rent and you can't do anything about it. You know, and he thumbs his nose at him and says, ha ha, you can't evict me. Can he take him to the Dentaira and say, excuse me, if you're not paying rent, I evict you, I'll pay Dentaira. When do we follow the minhag hamakom, and when do we follow the dinim of the Torah? Is mamish this issue? So Rabbi said, Jesus, you see the tshuva from Rabbi Isha? It works off the two perspectives that we are outlined, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Tam. See the tshuva from Rabbi Isha. It's fascinating. Tshuva is a back and forth that took place in Alon Shvut. That's where Gush Etzion is, Yeshiva is Gush Etzion, about a guy building a wall between his property and his neighbor's property. Fantastic back and forth. Mamish about this issue. Then we'll go on in the Mishnah. Okay, what should we do?